steal it. And then if you want to burn the rest, go ahead. And looting and thievery happened, and then burning, and the fires were set, this witness again said, by people who, when they were asked what they were doing, spoke with accents that weren't Iraqi Arabic accents.
Wade, anything to add to that? Well, what stands out in your mind from the things that you witnessed?
Well, leaving Baghdad on, the last day, just driving through town and not being able to get out of town because the roads were blocked, and having to change our direction repeatedly. And, the whole town was just in shambles. I mean, here you have what was once the most modern country in the Middle East, most modern Arabic country in the Middle East, reduced to ruin by the U.S. military over the course of a 12-year war. It was like, Watts after the riots, but it was the whole town, it was the whole city. I mean, it's a city of 5 million people, just devastated. I don't think I'll ever, forget those images as I drove out of town. We're talking about a sustained war that was brutal against, a former ally that we helped put into place. For what reason? It was like the Bush administration gave a different reason every week. They were just hoping that they would throw something out that would resonate with one segment of the population or another. I think it, may help George Bush get reelected, and it certainly lined the pockets of a lot of the military-industrial complex. But all the other reasons, were specious, were clearly false. It's just a real tragedy.
And you're tuned to Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
You loved your sweet country for all of your life.
We've been listening to a rebroadcast interview from 10 days ago. Wade Hudson, 59-year-old resident of Boulder Creek, California, and Kathy Kelly of Voices in the Wilderness and the Iraq Peace Team. Kathy Kelly will be speaking tonight, May 15th, 2003, and I encourage you to go hear her for a view on the war in Iraq other than what's been shown through the mainstream media. Kathy Kelly tonight, Thursday, May 15th, 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street in Santa Cruz. Her talk is a fundraiser for Voices in the Wilderness and is co-sponsored by the Resource Center for Nonviolence. Wade Hudson, who you also just heard in that interview, will be speaking this Sunday night, May 18th, at 7 o'clock in Santa Cruz at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 515 Broadway. For more information, call them 423-1626 or check their website, www.rcnv.org. My name is the V-Man. This is Rockin' the Boat. I encourage you to tune in tomorrow night for an interview with noted human rights advocate, environmental scientist, and author Rania Masri. She will be my guest tomorrow on Rockin' the Boat. Rania Masri is the coordinator of the Rally North Carolina-based Iraq Action Coalition and is the director of the newly formed Southern Peace Research and Education Center. Rania Masri will join me live in the studio for a discussion about the latest U.S. assault and occupation of Iraq with a focus on the humanitarian consequences of depleted uranium munitions used by the so-called coalition forces. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. for Rockin' the Boat right here on Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, right after Free Speech Radio News. Jim Page gonna fade in and stay tuned for Bathrop Spears Broadsides next.
A mother is more than a number to a baby who now has to grow up on its own. And a grandfather blinded and crippled at his age is more than just a statistical drone. All of these people are human, and humans are more than a footnote. This cynical language of killing is killing us, cut like a bone in humanity's throat. Humanity's throat. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly of the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. A ghost in the lonely wind blowing like shrapnel, the sound of the rain, and it's speaking a language you don't understand, but you know what it means just the same. There's no time for innocence, all of that's over now. Don't say that you didn't know. When they come to collect for the damages owed, the collateral may be your own. Maybe you're on. Goodbye to my relatives, all of my life. Never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be.
Special mystery guest. Check it out.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse, and this is Bathrob Spears Broadside. It's going to be with you for 2 hours, also including the notorious Jeffrey Gale. Hey, Jeffrey.
Good evening. Are you getting all excited about the full moon eclipse the minute you get off the air tonight, in your honor, Robert? It's going to happen right here in Santa Cruz, right after 8 o'clock.
No, just don't black me out. Yeah, we got 2 hours coming up. This is, of course, civil rights, your civil rights, my civil rights, our missing civil rights. That's what we're talking about, how to restore them.
I'm particularly focusing on...
15.
May 15th?
Yes.
Today is May 15th.
Today's International Day to Recognize the Police Officer.
Oh, today is International Police Recognition Day.
And a big proclamation at City Council, actually.
There you
Vinny
go.
Is apparently on top of this. Vinny, have you done your bit to acknowledge a police officer of your choice in town today?
Well, it was funny. You know, the mayor and all the other City Council members, they were just fawning over the police chief the other day at the City Council meeting. I happened to go by just because I was curious about the Soquel bike path, or the Greenbelt bike path, and yeah, it was a very interesting scene. They commemorated National Police Week or something, but anyway, that's all. I know you have quite an agenda here. You're looking scrambling around the studio, so I'll just tell people more about how disgusting it was to see our city leaders just parading around and just all. They gave each other some plaques and read off these like codes of ethics and all this, you know, hokey ceremonial bullshit. And anyway, it was a very, very frustrating waste of taxpayer time and money, considering the budget crisis right now. Anyway, that's all. Thanks.
In his outfit there, I wasn't at the council meeting, but I think it was earlier. He was walking around in his full dress, you know, kind of looked like Bush in his military outfit landing on the aircraft carrier, all in blue and so forth, and all hepped up. Yeah. Well, you know, there you are. Uniforms, police, guns, it's the old story. The question is, does it address real social and real criminal problems? And the answer is...
No!
That seems to be the answer from some of us, and I have to agree, unfortunately, at least the way the police are used in Santa Cruz, which is to criminalize poor people on the whim of merchants and essentially to establish a kind of a discriminatory social order downtown. You, however, may have a different view, or you may have some experiences you want to share about this. If you do, the phone number to call is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. You can get a hold of us if you're lucky. If I happen to notice the phone light flashing, and if you happen to catch us when the phone is not being occupied, we have only one phone line, but we'll be happy to pick up your call and talk to you. So do. 427-3772 is the number to call. I've got a number of items coming up on the queue. Jeffrey, you usually have got a number of items yourself. Anything you want to begin with?
Well, I think it's interesting that when we're all going to be eclipsed, before we get eclipsed, the sheriff of Santa Cruz County talked to me about 45 minutes ago and said that shortly after 6, he was going to be a guest on your show tonight, Robert. Sheriff Tracy. The sheriff, of course, was the lead story in the Wednesday, May 7th Santa Cruz Sentinel under a headline that says, "Sheriff targets drunks in the emergency room. Solutions include more jail sentences. Sheriff Tracy wants tougher penalties for public intoxication." So I told him we would like to talk to him about that. And 1 year ago, Robert, there was a major event, in my opinion, that happened in Aptos, California, where a convicted and paroled sex offender was placed in a neighborhood in Aptos, and the sheriff, of course, put out a flyer about this gentleman, and it was put all over town, and so this week...
Let me interrupt you, Jeffrey, because
sure.
I think we may have an incoming call.
Okay.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, who's this?
Yes, it's Mark Tracy, but I can barely hear you. I don't know if I should call back on another phone.
Well, it could be the phone, or it could be our rather rudimentary equipment, Sheriff Tracy. It's a difficult situation, but can you hear us at all?
Well, now, you sound a little louder right now.
Okay, if it's intelligible, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, I'm concerned that if there's, you know, that your man there, Jeffrey's kind of a fast talker, and I don't want to not hear what he's saying. So,
Jeffrey, why don't you say a word into your mic? Let's see if Sheriff Tracy can hear you.
Good evening, Sheriff Tracy. It's an honor to have you on the show.
All righty.
So it sounds like the other mic is better. I'm softer. He's louder. Is that
okay? I think we can work this.
Okay. Well, since Jeffrey invited you, Sheriff Tracy, and since Jeffrey has kind of scrutinized the two issues he wants to raise with you, and I've got a couple of my own, how much time you got?
I've only got about 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, Jeffrey, why don't you begin And then I'll pick up the pace as well. And if anyone's listening in, you won't be able to call during the actual show time, but you can certainly call after Sheriff Tracy is off the air and issue your, and express your comments. You can also reach us on air at rnorse@hotmail.com, and I'll try to pass any questions you have on to Sheriff Tracy. Would that be okay, Mark?
I spoke to Jeffrey earlier and told him I would do an interview with him, and so I prefer to do the interview with Jeffrey, so let's get on with it.
Go ahead, Jeffrey, let's see.
Okay, Sheriff, you and I had talked about two stories. One, the situation involving sex offenders. As you recall, we talked about that case in Aptos about a year ago, and then USA Today had a major story that dealing with Albuquerque's targeting of sex offenders challenged by an ACLU lawsuit. And maybe you could just inform our listeners as to what your gut feeling is as to, you know, what can be done dealing with sex offenders. The San Jose Mercury News had a front page story in the last week or so about a convicted sex offender, and they put his photograph on the front page of the San Jose Mercury News, printed his name, address, and phone number, and told everyone exactly what motel he was living in Monterey, California. And I don't know, there's just something about that, Sheriff, that bothers me. I mean, how do we ever get into rehabilitation? We know what happened to Dan White in the famous case with after the assassinations of Mayor Moscone and Harvey Supervisor Milk in San Francisco. The fact that the Singleton case, we can go on and on. The O.J. Simpson being literally driven out of Pacific Palisades by his neighbors, and he moved to Florida. What's your take on what the rights are of someone who is paroled and who supposedly is totally rehabilitated, where psychiatrists and parole officers and probation departments say the person is totally rehabilitated? Or is it your opinion that we're not really rehabilitating people, we're locking them up, they're not getting the proper therapy, and there's recidivism? The minute they get out, they go and do it again.
Well, you've asked an awful lot of questions there, and in California, sex offenders are categorized as they come out of prison or local facilities into three areas. And those categories, they're either considered a low risk, or they're which is the most, the largest number of offenders. And they can be in a computer under the Megan's Law system, where a person has to go access that and look that up, but they cannot have a public notification, or their names can't be released or publicized in the newspaper like the Albuquerque or like the San Jose situation. The second level is what is called a serious offender level, and that's someone who's the local jurisdiction can make a decision based on the seriousness of the case, the likelihood to reoffend, and also where the person might be living as to whether there should be a local notification in private. Examples of that would be people who are sex offenders who live near schools or places where you may want to go notify the school and others in a neighborhood about a sex offender living in that area, but you would not do what is called a public notification, for example, putting it in a newspaper. The one that ends up in the newspaper is called a high-risk offender. And the high-risk offender, there's the smallest category, but the laws in California do allow for a broad public notification about where that person will be living. And that's the one, obviously, that you're concerned about. In Santa Cruz County, we have done broader notification of high-risk offenders, these people most likely have been in the state prison system. They are people who have offended a number of times or have very critical or serious crimes. And in this category of high-risk offenders, there tends to be statistical data out there that shows that they have extremely high likelihood of reoffending. And so you're trying to weigh, and of course this is the big question, you're trying to weigh the individual rights of an individual or this person against the community protection. And I think that's one that will be argued for some time.
Well, of course, you know, I had a long talk with Tom Honig last spring about the offender dealing with Aptos, and he said it's a very tough decision for the editor of the only daily newspaper in Santa Cruz, California, dating back to 1856, whether he should take a flyer delivered to him by your department and whether he should actually run a story from that flyer and put it in the newspaper. He said they wrestle with it all the time.
But
it's very difficult.
They do it.
Well, yeah, they do it, but he said in his journalism career and in recent times, he's been giving a lot of thought to not doing it all the time. That, in other words, your department obviously has a very difficult responsibility to tell the Mr. Honig how serious each individual case is. Am I correct? When you put a flyer out,
The high risk, the highest level of offender, that classification actually comes from the California Department of Corrections. The local police agencies in California don't set that criteria. It comes from the state prison when they're released. And so there are very few of those. I mean, I suspect since the laws have been in effect, there's probably been under 10 that or less that have been published in any in a local paper. And I know that Mr. Honig has a different opinion about this, and it's a broader opinion about whether sex offenders can be held after their sentence on a civil commitment, which is a whole other topic. But he has, strong opinions about this. But, you know, this is one that we obviously, I strongly disagree with him.
Well, Sheriff Tracy, I'd like to ask you, what about someone, say, that's been incarcerated and the person, is then paroled and goes directly into a place like the Delancey Street Foundation in San Francisco with a two-year commitment, and then they're, according to Mimi Silbert or, all the people running Delancey Street, the person is totally rehabilitated. Do you believe after that point that if the person, say, was a sex offender, that if the person then moves into a neighborhood, in this case, even if the person, say, moves into Santa Cruz County, then you have another tough decision, right? Is the person totally rehabilitated?
If they were a high-risk offender, categorized as a high-risk offender, we would do the notification. And so I think that certainly we all hope that a person could be rehabilitated and that a person would, through treatment, would not commit a crime again. But I think what the legislators who have put this together and have put these laws and the courts that have upheld them are saying that in this situation, that the rights of the entire community outweigh the rights of a convicted felon. And so that's a decision they're making, and certainly so law enforcement is, taking the steps to follow those laws, and we would do the notification. What we've also found, though, that some of the notifications we've done, if the offender goes about their life, seeks employment, there is not an ongoing interest about that case, then it kind of goes away. If the